there's the heroine of the story right there. Notice how ambitious the bees are to collect. Okay, very quickly, the honeybee time sense. Honeybee foragers can learn with a high degree of accuracy the time of day which flowers produce nectar. This is expressed behaviorally as anticipation, that is, bees can anticipate species-specific rhythms in patches of flowers. This is an experimentally tractable behavior. You can train the bees practically any time of day to artificial food sources. And it is known that this is under circadian clock control. Typical time training experiment, well, it has a restricted training time in which sucrose is presented, several days of training at a distant feeding station, followed the next day after training by a test day in which there is no food presented, and the station is monitored from sunrise to sunset to see the arrivals of those bees who had received training. This is what an experiment looks like if the bees were trained in the morning. Here's what it looks like if the bees were trained in the afternoon. There's a couple of things I want you to notice. First of all is the accuracy. These are three consecutive unrewarded test days after training. Notice that the response is incredibly accurate even 3 days after the last day of training, both morning and afternoon. The response diminishes, yet the temporal accuracy is still quite good in both cases. Another thing to notice is the anticipation. I want you to please look at the arrivals before the onset of the training time. A peak is reached, and then right after the onset of the training time, within, let's say, 15 to 20 minutes, there's a diminution of the response. Response goes down. For both morning and afternoon trained bees, 1, 2, and 3 days after the last training day. Despite almost 100 years of study on the time memory, we really do not yet know how the time memory is initiated. We've come up with two what we think are reasonable hypotheses. The first is, we call it multiple rewards hypothesis. In this case, the time memory is initiated by repeated presentation of sucrose rewards within a short span of elapsed time. And if this hypothesis is true, we would predict that as the number of rewards increases within a relatively small time frame, then the association between food and circadian phase is strengthened and results in a more accurate time memory. Okay. The alternative hypothesis would be multiple onsets, where repeated presentations of feeding at the same time of day for several consecutive days causes a clustering of feeding onset times within a circumscribed circadian phase. Now, this is a model proposed by Galistel. There's Galistel's reference. If this hypothesis is true, we would predict that food anticipatory behavior requires several days to develop and will not be influenced by increasing the number of rewards that the bee receives within a feeding bout. Okay. In order to test these hypotheses, we ran so-called acquisition experiments. I'm going to go through the methods very, very quickly. These are classical methods. You've got a distant food source. The bees are recruited by other bees that are already familiar with the station. Each visit, we say, results in a single reward. The bee drinks sucrose solution for 45 seconds plus or minus 15 seconds standard deviation for 2 molar sucrose. We have bees with 1, 2, 3, or 4 consecutive days of training. All training happens during midday hours, and then there's one rewarded test day. All of our test bees are individually marked using paint dots. As you can see, there's two bees at the feeder. Our feeder is really nothing more than a petri dish that's been cut down so that the bee can walk up, belly up to the bar, and start feeding. Because they're individually marked, we can monitor the exact number and timing of all rewards during training and all test day visits as well. But we need an accuracy measure, that is a temporal accuracy measurement. So we came up with the mismatch value. It's the difference between the average arrival time on the underwater test day and the average feeding time onset during training in minutes. We have a mismatch value that's calculated for each of our bees. And of course, that means the smaller the mismatch, the greater will be the time accuracy. This is just to show you that we did a truckload of experiments, some of which were done with scent, some without. By the way, later on when I give the results, I need to let you know right now that there were no significant differences among bees trained to different scents. Okay. Very quickly, also, this is what one of our experiments looks like. At the very top, you see individual rewarded visits of bees during a training day. In this particular experiment, there was only one day of training. Each dot represents the arrival in time of a bee and its reward. Notice that some bees get a lot of rewards. They were recruited early to the feeding site, and some bees get very few rewards. They were recruited late to the feeding site. Some bees only get one reward because they were there right at the end of the training time. Okay. At the bottom is our results for a test day. What you can see is that the time memory is established with just one day of training. Well, in that case, we can immediately reject the multiple onsets hypothesis. Another thing to notice is that the accuracy of these bees on that test day at the bottom there is not terribly impressive. Many of those bees show up 2, 3, and almost 4 hours ahead of time. Not terribly impressive. Another thing that we notice is that there is no correlation between the number of rewards the bee gets during training and its time accuracy, or the mismatch value. If that's true, then we immediately reject the multiple rewards hypothesis. Well, now we're running out of hypotheses. Both hypotheses are rejected, so what do we do? Well, you take a step backwards and you re-ask the questions again. How exactly do feeding onsets influence the time memory? And exactly how do multiple rewards influence the time memory? All right, with multiple rewards, we found that there was indeed a significant correlation between the number of rewards during training and the number of reconnaissance flights, which we're going to call inspection intensity, for bees who chose to reconnoiter the food site or the training station. Okay. We also noticed that if we compare the bees that did show up and the bees that did not show up on test day, the bees that did show up received significantly more rewards than those who chose not to show up. So in other words, food anticipatory activity was demonstrated that by the bees that got significantly more rewards during training, no matter how many days of training you look at. So this is significant with both one, two, three, and 4 days of training. But if you look at multiple onsets, the accuracy of the time memory did improve with the number of days of training. What you see here are the mismatch values on the y-axis, days of training on the x-axis. Notice there's a progressive and significant decrease in mismatch values as you go from 1, 2, 3 to 4 days of training. So in other words, the bees, these foragers, are off by an average of about 73 minutes with 1 day of training. That's reduced to about 39 minutes with 4 days of training, and that is a nice significant change in temporal accuracy. We did not see the same thing in bees trained without scent, but we only tested them for 1 or 2 days of training. So, back to our questions again. How do feeding onsets influence the time memory? Well, it appears as if the salient cue for initiating a time memory is the first reward of the feeding onset. That is, the first reward is the feeding time onset. This apparently scores circadian phase and enables a linkage between the internal clock time and the presence of food. The accuracy of the time sense can be fine-tuned by comparing reward phases over several consecutive days. How do multiple rewards influence the time memory? Well, Additional rewards beyond the first have little or no impact on time accuracy, but nevertheless influence the number of reconnaissance flights. That's what we called inspection intensity. Also, the more rewards means that there's a greater probability of exhibiting food anticipatory behavior. That is, these are the bees that actually will venture out of the hive and check out the feeding station. So, feeding onset times and multiple rewards during feeding bouts govern different processes associated with time memory behavior. And one final result is the difference we found between bees trained with scent and without scent. If you would like to make the analogy with classical conditioning, then maybe this result is, well, what we got was bees trained with scent are much more accurate, significantly so, than bees trained without scent. Maybe scent enhances the salience or strength of the unconditioned stimulus, which is sucrose, thereby generating a stronger association with the conditioned stimulus, which would be circadian phase read off of the endogenous clock. And of course I have to thank a lot of people for helping with the field experiments and the USDA for financial support. Thank you. Questions? Yes. That's
I'm wondering whether you recorded flights where they, or whether they had the opportunity to come by your sucrose feeder and notice that it didn't have anything in it earlier in the morning. Because they're presumably using both pluses and minuses to decide where to go, right? Not just pluses.
Sure. We actually think that this is an adaptive response, because the first time a bee discovers a food source, even if it's been recruited, probably will not correspond exactly to when that food source started that day.
Right.
And so it's almost as if they're essentially casting a wide temporal net, but you don't want that net to be too wide. So I think your analysis is exactly what we've been thinking. Yeah. I don't know if that answered all of your question, though. Yeah. Notice that that anticipation gets smaller with days of training, which also makes sense from an ecological point of view.